Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Utsah, the youth hour on Radio Sai for all those who are young and all those who feel young no matter how many summers and winters they have seen. For when someone asked a 60-year-old dynamic person, how old are you? He said, I am 16 years with 44 years of experience. So this program too is for all those who are 16 with various levels and degrees of experience. So it is for all those who are young in heart and who have the drive, the energy, the enthusiasm to make a positive difference in the lives of people around. And it is for all those who celebrate Sai in their lives. I met one brother recently who really celebrates Sai in his life and has been blessed to bask in the physical proximity of Bhagwan for decades, and in fact has been part of the university in the initial years of the college, and even now comes to Prashantanilayam very frequently, and being a very gifted singer and composer, sings in the Prashantanilayam in the Divine Abode. And he is Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim. I asked him about his utsahik moments with Bhagwan. Sairam Brother Sonam, and welcome to Utsah.
Sairam Vishu.
When I utter the word Utsah, what comes to your mind?
What comes to my mind when you utter the word Utsah? It only gives me an idea of being youthful.
Wow.
Vigor and vitality.
Yes. And you have spent your youthful time at his lotus feet, at the divine physical proximity. You have spent decades as a student, and even now you are someone who is young at heart, has the drive and that energy to do his work, spread the message of bhajans all over India and in the world. And you've been also interacting with a lot of youth. Can you reflect on Bhagwan, how he inspired so many youth, you know, because you have had the chance to really live with Bhagwan at the physical proximity, how he used to mesmerize students and bring them onto the path that he wanted them to. What was that magnetic pull of Bhagwan that captivated the youth of that time?
Well, in the first place, I must submit that Swami focused only on the youth. Like I would say, he invested all his time, all the time, to the overall development and of the youth into integrated personalities. That's what he used to say. I want you to become integrated personalities. And by saying integrated, he would say people who are united in thought, word and action. I want you to be that. So he was once referring to the university, you know, when we were having a beautiful drama on Jesus of Nazareth, and rehearsals used to take place every day in his divine presence. And then Swami said that I want you to, when Peter says, you know, he utters a dialogue, that who are you? Jesus asks Peter, and Peter says, I'm a fisherman. And Swami says, why don't you add one more dialogue there? You're a fisherman, I'm the fisher of men.
Oh,
and then Swami says, this university is like a very big net that I have cast in the sea of the samsara to bring together choicest gems, you know. I want these youth to be caught in this net. And then I shaped them up. So the main idea in this entire thing was so pragmatic. Swami said, it's only when the young people are given a proper type of dimension in life, they are made to understand the purpose of life, the whole country will once again prosper. So when I look at the entire gamut of my stay in the Divine Presence, I only see youthful vigor and vitality in everything that Swami did.
Wow.
Everything that Swami does. Only Utsaha and nothing more. So the title Utsaha that you have actually thought of is the most appropriate coinage. for this beautiful segment. I have only seen this. But then what comes to my mind is, apart from the totality, what strikes me is two things. One is the sports and cultural meet that happens in the university. One of the most vital, most wonderful moments in the life of every student. And then the other one is music that flows eternally here in the precincts of the university and Prashanti Nilayam. In fact, the first time when I became a student, what attracted me to the place and made me stay here on and on, apart from being in the presence of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, or I would put it properly, what drew me closer to Bhagwan was music. So these two things strike me very much.
And these two things are always filled up with utsaah, always filled up with so much energy.
I mean, oh my God,
people
should
burst
see.
Of energy.
Yeah, burst of energy.
Yeah. And I think Swami used that to convey very deep lessons to them.
Exactly, exactly. So I'll just recall the first ever sports meet that we had in the Hillview Stadium. Now the Hillview Stadium is a wonderful place and it's a fully made stadium. But then those days, you know, I would call it those primitive days. The stadium had two different elevations. And then all of us used to aspire that to make this into a beautiful stadium, a beautiful looking stadium. None of the statues that adorn the, that girdle the upper fringes of the stadium and the galleries, none of these existed then.
We are talking about 80s, early 80s.
Yeah, early 80s. So everything was done by the students with so much devotion, and Swami would come, and he never ceased to do that even in the later years. For every rehearsal, Swami had to be there.
Yes.
And those days, hours on end, he would spend with us. And we never had a brass band. So the only band that we improvised was a drum, a huge drum, a snare drum, and one accordion. And that accordion was the only instrument that really created some melody there. And the rhythmic structure was all provided by the drums. And just on these bare three skeletal instruments, we had the whole march past. And the utsaah you should have seen, you know. And the first time when the lamp was lit for the sports meet, to inaugurate the sports meet, it caught fire in the sense that the pedestal was made of wood. And the entire wooden pedestal caught fire.
Oh my God.
And then still the utsaah was at par with the flames, you know.
Oh wow.
It was so wonderful. But then I remember during the subsequent year, when one of my friends, he almost swept away all the prizes. Mm-hmm. Like he participated in everything. And then he was one of the best sports persons in our university, Rajkumar Jain.
Oh, he's still there.
He's still here. Yes, he is teaching in Vrindavan,
campus.
Head of Department of Physics.
Yes.
So when he got the prizes, that year the utsaah was of a different kind. Like Swami brought all the prizes. All the gifts were brought from abroad.
Oh, okay.
And Rajkumar Jain became a very rich guy that day.
Even materially.
Yeah. So materially and spiritually. When he went up on the stage umpteen times to receive the divine gifts from Bhagwan. And many of us, I think we were also slightly jealous. Then many boys would have resolved that year that we have to really do our best so that we get not only gifts that are divine, but gifts that are very expensive also, you know.
Mm.
So the following year, when we had the sports meet again, and normally the month of January is buzzing with activities here, you know it very well.
Yes.
So at the end of the meet, when Swami was distributing the prizes, boys were all expecting those expensive gifts and who's going to be the all-rounder and who's going to get the biggest trophy. And then it so turned out that Swami started giving the gifts. The gifts were basically pencils, and then there were tumblers, plastic tumblers, steel tumblers,
oh my God.
And then soap cases, you know. And then boys were all shocked, like when they went up on the stage and received the prize for a discus throw, and the prize was a pencil or something, you know. So they were almost apparently they were ashamed to even display the prize, you know, that they had got. Otherwise, normally with a big bravado, you show the prize. But then they couldn't do that. And at the end of the prize-giving ceremony, when Swami gave his discourse, it was one of the most sterling discourses that I have ever heard in my life.
Oh.
And it's a discourse that the whole world, youth of the entire world should listen to get empowered, because it was a most empowering moment of our lives. And it's not only me who felt that way. Every individual who was sitting there in the auditorium that day, we all felt the same thing. The first thing that Swami said was, the Sai system doesn't allow you to go for competition, Swami said. There is no competition in the system. Only perfection, Swami said.
Oh, wow.
So at the level of perfection, if you look at it from that perfection stance, there is no prize, no trophy in this world which has been ever created for the man who is a true winner. The true winner is he who always wins and never loses. And in perfection, everyone is a winner.
Yeah, because every time you're trying to scale that peak, yes. So every day you're a winner.
Yeah, every day, every moment you are a winner. In fact, right from the time of preparation until the ultimate tournament, when you are on the ground, it has been all the time joy and joy and happiness and perfection all along.
A journey towards perfection.
It's journey towards perfection. And then otherwise, relatively, if you look at it, there is nothing like a complete perfection in life, unless you only talk about the absolute perfection of life. So here, Swami was dwelling on the joy that you get when you are participating in a sports event. The joy that fills your heart and your muscles on the ground, that joy, nothing equals to that joy. Nothing measures up to that joy in terms of, you know, getting, that is the best prize you can even think of.
So our energies are concentrated not to beat competition.
Yeah.
But to master perfection.
Exactly. That's what Swami said in the first instance.
That should not drive you. That the other person is jumping, say, 4 feet, and I should therefore jump
6 feet.
6 feet should not be the motivation.
That shouldn't be the motivation.
For me, if I can jump 6 feet, I should try and do that. And today maybe I am 4, tomorrow I am... So every day I am a winner, moment I make little progress.
Exactly. And then Swami always, later on also I have heard Swami say this, but that day Swami said, at the level of perfection, there is samatvam.
Equanimity.
So when there is equilibrium and equanimity, there is harmony. And Swami said, sports should promote harmony in the society. It should not promote disparity in the society.
Even if there is competition, it is competition with your own self.
With your own self, exactly.
There is no outside competition.
No.
You want to be a better person than what you were yesterday.
Exactly.
That's all.
That's it. And that was one of the most wonderful things that I ever heard in my life. And then Swami said, I know you were ashamed to even show your display, your trophy or the prize that you got today. But then that is not important. The value attached to that prize is, from whom did you get the prize?
Yes.
So the giver of the prize is the Lord himself, Swami said.
Yes.
So you are receiving it from the hands of Sai. So that is the value. Whatever is touched by Sai is the most valuable thing on earth.
I think people, boys also knew this and they were valuing it. It's just that they got carried away. Because the previous year there was someone who received expensive gifts.
But Swami made it more augmented in the sense that, you know, Swami made it for the general mass of humanity.
Yes.
Everywhere people would feel that way. Swami was reflecting on that.
Yes.
Not what my boys you were thinking. But normally, in a normal course of life, yes. This is how you would react.
Yes.
But then that reaction can be very understandable. But at the same time, if you understand the right perspective from whom you are getting the gift,
yes.
You know, then Swami went on to give so many examples of, you know, people who value things in life because, you know, it's a memento that they got from somebody very important. And when you get it from God himself, how important it should be, how valuable it should be, Swami said.
So it was a very, very precious lesson about what to give value.
Yes.
To what to give value in life and how much value to what.
Exactly. And you know what Swami said that day was, I am not Sports Authority of India.
SAI.
I am SAI Sai, Swami said. So this Sai is different.
This, He's the Sai authority.
This is the Sai. And this Sai is perfection.
Perfection.
That other Sai is competition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There is so much. It's a rat race. You know, it's a total competition and people want to demolish the other person.
So, when you follow the sports authority of India's spirit, you know, then people work for competition and it can lead to depression. It can
exactly.
lead to disappointment.
Exactly.
But in this approach, when you do it only for your perfection,
yeah.
there is always joy.
Exactly.
Because you are always a winner. There is
you're
no depression.
Always, you are always a winner. So this type of spirit, this type of utsah, that was my first time I saw in my life. This type
wow.
of utsah. And, you know, you could never measure up to Bhagwan's utsah in doing anything. Swami would say, I play everything 100%. I am God 100%. Are you a devotee 100%? Swami would ask. You know? Are you a youth 100%? Now, these are questions that Swami posed time and again. Are you a man 100%? If I am a man 100%, then I should understand what should be the characteristics of a human being. Swami made it so simple. Humane is compassion.
Yes.
And in fact, when you say mankind, man is supposed to be kind. So do you have that kindness and sympathy in you? So if you have that, you are okay, 100%. You are a 100% man. I still remember when somebody was telling Swami in a particular context, Swami, you are God. We are just human beings. Swami said, huh? When did I say you are God? Straight away. You are God in the making.
Mm-hmm.
But live a proper human life, 100%, Swami said.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a human being? Are you living a 100% human life? Think of that. I am only demanding that from you.
Strive towards that perfection.
Strive towards that perfection.
Of being a human being.
Yeah. And God you will become.
Yes.
Because that is your legacy. You are already God. But then you have to realize it. You have to work it out. So this type of beautiful expression that I got from Bhagwan that day on the sports meet prize giving ceremony. And then in the days to come, be it a PhD, be it anything. Swami is all inspiration for everyone.
Yes.
In any field of life. Be it a doctor. Later on, when the hospital came up, when Swami gave a discourse to cardiologists coming from all over the world, and then Swami spoke with that enthusiasm again, only about the heart and the spiritual significance of the heart and what the spiritual heart means. And all the doctors are, you know, dumbfounded. Like, they would have never heard a discourse like that in their life. And that is the enthusiasm that we need in life.
And that confidence, so much confidence.
Yeah.
Bhagwan.
That utsah comes from confidence, na?
Yes.
What do you say?
Absolutely. So that was Brother Sonam Gyamse from Sikkim. And what a powerful lesson, isn't it? When we engage in sports or this game of life, what is important is that aim of perfection. The sports and cultural meet always had a larger purpose, and that should be the aim, that should be the goal. Perfection and the larger purpose, the public good. In fact, I am reminded of that remarkable incident from Bhagwan's childhood days. After completing his initial schools in Kamalapuram, Bhagwan, then known as Satya, was sent to Bukkapatnam for his middle school. He was now 13 or 14 years of age and he joined the Samiti Elementary School in Bukkapatnam. Bukkapatnam is 4 kilometers from Puttaparthi and one had to cross River Chitravati to go there in those days. Swami was staying with his grandfather Kundama Raju and he had to finish preparing breakfast and lunch for himself and his grandfather early hours in the morning, and then he used to have his routine breakfast of sankati, which is a porridge-like mixture of the locally grown ragi and broken rice, or sometimes cold rice and curd. And consuming this, Bhagwan would begin his journey to Bukkapatnam every morning. He would always walk to Bukkapatnam and his hair would be well combed, and he always wore 2 dots on his forehead, one of vibhuti and another of kumkum, vermilion. And he was always clean, always neatly dressed and very presentable. In fact, I had heard Bhagwan personally describe how he managed with just 1 or 2 pairs of dress, and he used to wrap himself up in a towel in the evenings and himself wash his dress and then iron them. In those days, those rudimentary iron boxes. But he ensured that every day he wore fresh clothes and he was tidy. In fact, it was not easy for Bhagwan to maintain himself this way, not only because of the financial constraints at home, but also because of the way he was treated by some of the children in the school who were jealous of him. They were jealous of him because Satya was very talented. He could sing, dance, act, compose. He could answer any question from the teacher. So one occasion, these disgruntled group of boys, when they saw Satya coming, neatly dressed, they wanted to harm him. They wanted to ruin his morning. So they threw at him thorn balls. You know, these thorn balls picked from a thorny plant. And these thorn balls would stick to Satya's hair. And seeing Satya's discomfiture, they used to derive sadistic pleasure. But Satya never retaliated. Bhagwan would only actually try to avoid these miscreants and ensure that, you know, they are not able to do much harm to him. He would somehow time it in such a way that he does not cross their path. And there were also others who used to rag Bhagwan. They used to get into groups and they used to manhandle him on the sands of Chitravati every now and then, and then douse him with the Chitravati waters and spoil his clean clothes. But Satya was never ruffled. He was always unruffled. He would never fight back. In fact, if Bhagwan wanted, he could have just burned them to ashes with his mere look. But Satya was always a picture of peace and patience. He would just tolerate all the ragging and bullying in a very sportive spirit. And Swami, just like Krishna, he would just smile. That's all. He bore no ill will towards anyone. In fact, Swami went further. And at the time of examinations, it was Satya who would hold special classes for these students and tutor them so that they cleared the examinations easily. And obviously, with time, they realized their folly. All these boys who used to trouble him, they understood how full of shame it is for them to trouble someone like Satya, and they grew in admiration for Satya and for his sterling heart. Coming back to why I started narrating about Bhagwan's childhood, the young Satya was a precocious child with great creative talent, with known penchant for dramatic arts. In fact, street operas were dear to Swami in his childhood, and in fact, very early in life, Swami had played feminine roles in several plays with mythological and spiritual themes. In fact, being young and slim, he was perfect for feminine roles, plus he was a very fast and vibrant dancer. Satya had indeed danced balancing a bottle on his head. Now, in the backdrop of all this, let us go to the main story, why I started narrating all these facts about Bhagwan's childhood in Bukkapatnam. So, it was the annual day function of the Bukkapatnam school, and a famous actress and dancer, Rishendramani, was invited to perform on that day. All the arrangements were made and there were a few tickets sold too. The money was being raised for the school's betterment, for the school's advancement, and all the tickets were sold out. And now, on the day of the event, people gathered in large number to see this very famous dancer, Rishendramani. But to the horror of the organizers, the actress did not show up on the final moment because of sudden ill health. And now the school's administrators, they did not know what to do. The tickets had already been sold and so many people had gathered and they were fidgeting there. They were petrified what to do. And Satya saw that all the elders in the school, they were in so much of a mess, and so he went to them and he's looking at their pitiable condition. Satya immediately decided to come to their rescue. So he went to the school principal, the headmaster and the teachers, and he said he would take on the role of Rishendramani and ensure that the function goes on well and no one is disappointed. And given Satya's talent in dancing and given Satya's amazing ways, the school authorities agreed. And now what happened was, at the time when Rishendramani was supposed to enter the stage, Satya entered the stage. And what Rishendramani used to do is, she used to balance a plate with a lighted lamp on top of a bottle on her head. So on her head was a bottle, on top of the bottle was a plate, and on top of the plate was a lighted lamp. And with this arrangement on her head, she used to dance. And there would be perfect balance in all the things on her head as she danced away. And on that day, Satya too did the same feat. In fact, when Bhagwan narrated, Swami went further. Swami said, Swami bent down and he picked up a needle with his eyelid. And when people saw this, they were so enthralled, the crowd just burst out in bewilderment and applause. They had never seen anything like this before. It was the most spectacular sight they had ever witnessed any time in their life. And in fact, later the District Education Board President, Mr. Ramasubbamma, when he presented the prizes for the day's function, he spoke highly about the dancer's performance and he said that thanks to the mesmerizing performance, the school building fund has today indeed swelled. So many people contributed. They were so charged and so happy seeing the performance. And now, the District Education Board President, he wanted to honor the young dancer and now he wanted to gift Rishendramani, or whom he thought as Rishendramani, as a silk sari. He thought it is Rishendramani. He wanted to give her a silk sari. And now when he called out the name, it was Satya who started walking onto the stage. And in fact, there were many people who stopped Satya saying, it is not you who is being called. A dancer is being called to the stage. And at that time, the headmaster had to come from inside and rescue Satya. And then the headmaster himself announced that it was indeed Satya who had enthralled the audience with that out-of-the-world performance. And he went on to narrate how Satya, in their time of distress, came forward to save the day for them. And how Satya was only too happy to be there for the school when they needed someone to bail them out of that very, very irksome situation. The school needed resources. And the elders did not know what to do. And that's why Satya was sportive enough to save all of them with a spectacular act. And it was a job done with perfection. What made it such a spectacular event was the finesse with which he gave the performance. So that striving for perfection was so evident that Mother Sonam was saying, whatever sport we may do, the striving we have should be only for perfection. And this is what Bhagwan said. And the other goal, apart from perfection, as we discussed, is the larger purpose, the public good. It was for the school's growth. It was for the school's good name. It was to augment the school's resources so that the school can serve more children with better facilities and infrastructure. It was for this larger good and not just for personal name or fame or wealth or popularity that Bhagwan did what he did even as a 13-year-old child, 13-year-old student of the Bukkapatnam school. During the sports meet, annual sports and culture meet in 1990, Bhagwan said, in the beginning, sports and athletics were intended mainly to promote health and experience joy. But today, these objectives are being forgotten. Everything is being commercialized. And what has become predominant, the driving force for everything has become self-interest. And Swami said, that is why there is no peace and happiness. Swami said, sports helps the players not only to improve their health, but also to experience joy. Yes, it is to promote health and experience joy. But Swami said, we should not be content with these benefits. Man has another body besides the physical, and it is the subtle body, or known as, which is also known as the mind. And Swami said, it is equally essential to promote purity of the mind and develop large-heartedness, just like what we saw in Bhagwan, that large-heartedness. True humanness blossoms only when the body, mind and the spirit are developed harmoniously. And Bhagwan lived this life. He demonstrated this as a child and all his life. And this is what he ensured went into the heart of every student who participated in the annual sports and cultural events in the schools and colleges in Prashant Nilayam and in the university. In fact, every sports meet song also reflected this sentiment, because the sports meet song, which was played in the end when you all these students participated, come together to offer the gratitude, it summarizes the feelings of what each student was feeling. And if you listen to any of the sports meet songs, it was always filled with very, very simple but very profound lyrics.
This is the rhythm of life to bring the world together and to love one and all forever and ever, forever and ever. Swami, to live in your love is what our life is all about. Life is all about. We make the world a lovely place and we live, and we shall live. Ek hi jahan ke liye, sai tere pyar ke liye. Ek hi jahan ke liye, sai tere pyar ke liye. That's brighter than tomorrow, that's brighter than tomorrow. There's a place in our heart that's brighter than tomorrow, wherein He lights the lamp of love and joy, love and joy. Sai the hero, Sai the friend, Sai the everything, Sai the soul. To Him we hold on and believe that we are one forever. We shall live. Ek hi jahan ke liye, sai tere pyar ke liye. Ek hi jahan ke liye, sai tere pyar ke liye. This is the rhythm of life to bring the world together and to love one and all forever and ever, forever and ever. Swami, to live in your love is what our life is all about. Life is all about. We make the world a lovely place and we shall live, and we shall live. Ek hi jahan ke liye, sai tere pyar ke liye. Ek hi jahan ke liye, sai tere pyar.
Ek hi jahan ke liye, sahi tere pyar ke liye. Love all, serve all, and to live in your love is what life is all about. I think that is what is the spirit of the sports and cultural meet and this game of life. Whatever we do it for Him. And we love all and serve all and we live in His love. And I think once that focus is there, then we'll always do things for larger good and we'll always strive for perfection because we're doing it for Him. We're not doing it for X, Y or Z. And how amazingly sportive was Bhagwan when He taught us these lessons, when dealing with students' problems. How He very smartly bailed them out in precarious situations, just like He bailed out the headmaster and the school authorities in Bukkapattanam. Bhagwan did that all His life, and He did it very, very interestingly. Sometime He did it through a dance, at other time He did it through very beautiful orchestrated sequence of events interlaced with humor. And only a sportive God can do this. And He does it so fascinatingly that at the end of it, you only end up loving Him more and more. Let's listen to one such very interesting anecdote. Brother Ranganath Raju, a former student of Bhagwan's University, shares this very beautiful humorous episode.
There was one more senior of mine who wanted to, basically, he just studied for 2 years in MBA.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to sit in front. And I'm sure you know how close, how the physical proximity in the Thrai sessions,
yeah.
during Thrai sessions.
Mm.
Now people would come and sit right in front of Swami and you get to do Padseva for Swami.
Yes.
You can go up to the knees and you
yes.
can do Padseva, Swami would allow.
Mm.
That is like a lifelong.
You actually have Swami's feet on your lap.
Yeah, correct.
Mm.
Swami's feet on your lap and then you do Padseva. It's, you know, lifelong desire of a student that
mm.
Lord give me one chance. And this boy, you know, he had almost completed his MBA and he wanted to go. Now, those 10 to 12 days of the summer vacation, he was praying, you know, very intently. He wanted that one opportunity of sitting in Thrai in the front and doing Padseva. So, I'm sure all of us know as to how the darshan system works in Vrindavan. And boys go and sit in 9 to 10 lines and then just before Swami coming onto the hall, a message is sent to the boys and then chits are picked up. It's random. So any of the 9 lines can go first, any of the 9 lines can go second. So boys would be ready, 3-4 minutes ready even before the doors are open, so they can go and sit in the 1.1 in any of the line and pray that, Lord, let my line be the first line today. This boy, when he entered hostel, he sensed that doors might be opening for the lines to set up, to be set up. So he went and stood near the doors, and as he expected, the doors opened. He ran and he sat in his line. He was 1.1. And usually when you sit, you have to make sure that you continue to sit, because boys being boys, they come and kick your mat off and they say that your mat was never there. This is a 1.1 chance he got. And he thought, good, I will at least wait for 3-4 boys to fill up behind me. Then I will get up and go and basically attend the nature's call. Essentially, he was having some problem. He just wanted to, you know, relieve himself. So he was waiting for 3-4 boys to fill up. By then, 4th, 5th, 6th boy came up, and suddenly there was a message from Mandir saying that Swami is coming for darshan.
Oh.
That, oh. Usually, when the message comes, when you go to the Sai Rameshwar, Swami would take 2-3 minutes to come on to stay. You would have at least some time to go, usually come back to hostel and relieve yourself of the nature's call and then continue for bhajans. But that day, strangely, when he entered Cyclone Thal, Swami is already there.
Oh.
So he thought, oh God. Now he thought, okay, maybe after bhajans, before Thrai, usually Swami gives 10-15 minutes for these kind of boys. Probably you can go back to hostel, relieve yourself and come. Now, Swami was already in the mandir. This boy came and put his mat in 1.1. He just sat and behind him people filled up. So bhajans that day, bhajans would usually last for 45 minutes. That day it went for 1.5 hours.
Oh my God.
By the end of the bhajans, boy's bladder was full.
Oh my God.
He had to go to hostel at any cost. As you are expecting, that Swami would give him 3-4 minutes gap. But strange, Swami got up and Swami invited boys for Thrai. There is no way, being 1.1, he can reject Swami's invitation.
Yeah.
He just had to get up and walk right into stage and right outside the hall, try walk into Thrai. There is a toilet behind Thrai where for these purposes, you know, boys can use. So he thought, at least, God, Swami, allow me to use that toilet at least. Now the principle I told you put your mat and make sure that nobody kicks it off.
Mm.
So he ran inside Thrai and to his amazement, he is 1.1. Right in front of the jeweler. He went and
took lifetime chance.
Lifetime opportunity. It has come knocking. But just that his bladder was full that minute. So he put the mat and he was sitting and waiting so the boys behind him fill up. So Swami would take 3-4 minutes to come into Thrai. That is the time where boys go and relieve themselves. So by then half of the Thrai got filled and he wanted to get up. As he about to get up, he noticed that Swami walked into the room and instead of going towards inside, he walked towards the round hall.
Coming to the session. Oh.
Now this,
oh my God.
You would pray for that minute where you want Swami to walk in. You're saying, Swami, please, Swami, don't come
please
now.
Go.
Swami. Hope Swami walks in. Looks at him and then he sits in the jula.
Oh.
With a full bladder, he was sitting in front of Swami. He is looking at Swami. Swami takes his, Swami beautifully looks at him and puts his 2 feet in his in his lap and then Swami starts rocking. That is, the person who experiences it only can.
I know. What a predicament it is. I mean, you've got what you wanted all your life.
Yes.
but in such an uncomfortable position that you're not able to cherish even 1 second of it.
So that too, especially when it rocks, the pressure becomes much, much more. There is no way he could take it. He did something that unimaginable to a student. He just caught Swami's feet and took them out. So all the boys sitting around us like shocked. They say, what is this fellow doing?
He took out Swami's feet.
Swami also apparently shocked. Eh?
Boys
would usually wait for this, and Swami looked at him. So this boy got up, came very, very close to Swami, folded both his hands, and then lifted his right hand little finger.
A little finger
to show that I want to pee.
Oh my God.
Boys are thinking, why he just put on the feet, and now what is he telling Swami?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently Swami, no reaction on Swami's face. Swami said, Kurcho. And his boy thought, Swami did not understand my signal.
Oh,
rather, Swami misunderstood my signal, because Swami apparently was serious.
Swami seriously,
Kurcho. He sat down and he's thinking, Swami, please, if not you, who else?
You're the only one who can relieve us of everything.
Then, minute passes, and Swami looks at the warden and says, morning I gave you that blue file, where did you keep it? Warden was shocked. It's out of the blue. Swami, which blue file? What did you give? No, Swami says, no, that darshan time, that blue file. Warden says, he's trying to recollect. Apparently, there is no blue file. And Swami looks at this boy and says, see, warden is growing old. You go to hostel and come.
Oh, warden has forgotten.
Warden has forgotten the file. Now, he knew why Swami is sending him to hostel. Boy runs to hostel, gets up and runs to hostel, relieves himself. And now while coming back, now he's in a predicament. He is thinking, was it just a coincidence that Swami sent me, or is there really a blue file? He went to warden's office, apparently there is no blue file. Now, what would he tell Swami, that Swami there is no blue file? Or should he thank Swami for giving that beautifully allowing him to come out of that
And still preserving his place.
Yeah, and preserve, yes. That's the important point.
That's the most important thing.
Most important.
Because Swami has sent, his place is still there.
Yeah, true.
He can go back.
Obviously, yeah, true. So he comes back. Now, he's in a dilemma. What would he tell Swami? As he enters Thray, the beautiful Lord looks and says, you don't talk anything. I gave the file to inside boys. You come and sit here. He knew how Swami covered it. He just came and sat right in 1.1. And for the rest 1.5 hour, he had the beautiful paths they were done.
Oh my God.
So these are the instances that come to my mind.
Fantastic. I mean, it can be the bluest day of our lives, but he can pull out a solution from out of the blue.
Beautiful, yeah.
And I think it is really fantastic, you know. I think they say that whenever we are in problems, God is actually laughing at us. You know, because we are failing to see how much he is trying to actually rescue us.
True, yes.
We are simply crying about his little things, but he is all the time actually lifting and relieving us of our problems. And I think when you live with the avatar, you have such practical examples of examples of them. That's the greatest blessing of living with the avatar.
That instance where Krishna was lifting the Govardhanagiri and the Gopalas are holding it with the sticks.
Yes.
And they were telling Krishna as to how he should hold on his little finger. Forgetting that he is the one who lifted it.
Yes. But I think if only we remember that whatever naughty situation we may be in life, all we have to do is just believe that he is there. He knows how to untie it and he will do it and at the right time and in the most appropriate manner so that no one is embarrassed and there is still a smile on everyone's face. And no one has missed anything in life.
This Lord can do it.
Yeah, fantastic. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Brother Raju.
Thank you, Brother. Yeah, Sai Ram.
So that's how the Lord bails us out of every situation, and he does it so sportively. That game of life that we need to play. And Bhagwan is so amazing in ensuring that this game of life is smooth for us. And when you think about it, the first and basic requirement when it comes to playing the game of life is good health. Yes, even if our health is not good, he is there always to ensure that we don't get into uncomfortable situations. But for us to be proactive, for us to have that utsah in life, what is essential is good health. to ensure that we are always up and active and on top of our physical well-being. This is absolutely paramount. And to be young at heart, we have to be first young in our energy levels and in our stamina. I requested Dr. Narasimhan, the dynamic director of the Sri Sathya Mobile Hospital, to give us insights on this aspect, because I feel this is extremely important. Dr. Narasimhan is someone who has served in the rural areas with passion. For 15 years, he toured more than 60,000 kilometers doing Sai Medical Camps, covering 300 villages in the state of Andhra Pradesh, before Bhagwan called him and gave him the charge of the Sri Sathya Sai Mobile Hospital. And even now, half of the month, he spends in the villages every month, in surrounding villages of Puttaparthi, Penukonda and Bukkapatnam taluks, and treating thousands of poor patients and inspiring hundreds of doctors all over Andhra to engage in this service. He's crossed 50, but his energy levels are as if someone is in his 20s. And I asked him, what should we do to maintain our energy levels? How can we ensure that we are healthy enough for our Lord? What would be your advice in terms of health to the youth of today, the youth who want to do good, youth who want to lead the life of a Sai youth, and who want to be useful to society, want to live up to Bhagwan's expectations? And given today's lifestyle and given today's challenges at workplace and at home and the environment, the traffic, the pollution, what would be your three tips to the youth of today?
Yeah, this is a very important and relevant question. It is not just because I am a doctor. It's really very important. I think the first point which youth need to identify is they need to recognize and realize the importance of health. Because health is something which is always taken as for granted. Once it is lost, people make a hue and cry about it. And as you know, health is defined as wealth. And there's another saying which says, if wealth is lost, nothing is lost. If health is lost, something is lost. And if character is lost, everything is lost. But I would like to redefine and rephrase this saying by reversing it partly. I would say if health is lost, everything is lost.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I'm saying this is I would give you an example. A wicked and characterless person called Ratnakar, he became sage Valmiki. That is, it could be reversed. The loss of character could be reversed. But a young saintly person like Swami Vivekananda, who perhaps would have achieved much more, would have had much more accomplishments, because of ill health, he succumbed at a very young age. So as a doctor, I know that there are many ailments or many situations where nothing can be done. It is as though you have reached a dead end. If health is lost, it's over. And again, I am often reminded of what Adi Shankara, you know, you can call him a sage, a saint, or whatever you label him. One whose philosophy was Advaita, who had negated the very world itself. He said the world is a creation of the mind. But when he was asked which is the greatest asset for man in both his samsaric, his material and also spiritual life, surprisingly he did not say vairagya, dispassion. He did not say buddhi, intellect. But he said arogya.
Good health.
Yes, good health. So I feel the youth of today, especially those who really want to get into this life of selfless service, they need to recognize and realize the importance of being healthy first. The second point which they need to know is to know what exactly this health is. Because health is often thought of like I am 6 feet tall, I have broad shoulders, I have strong muscles, I am healthy. No. I think when we come to this, we can rely on the definition which the World Health Organization has given. It is fairly comprehensive. It defines health as a state of complete physical, mental, social, and now it has added also spiritual well-being. So it doesn't mean that if you don't have any ailment, you're healthy. It says you need to have a calm, a peaceful and tranquil mind. You need to have a life where you are harmonious. You are at peace with people around you, with the society in which you are living, or the office, the work spot where you are working, or the place where you stay. So it means that we need to know what exactly is this health. First, the recognition and realization of its importance. Second, what it is. And third, what are the factors which contribute to positive health? And perhaps what are the steps we need to take for it? And when we come to the factors which contribute to health, as a doctor, I can tell you, with my vast experience, nobody has defined health, nobody has outlined the factors in the way our own master has done it.
Mm-hmm.
Bhagawan, in his, I think, inimitable style of simplifying the most complex phenomena, has defined health as being dependent on what he says, ahara, that is the food we eat, vihara, the places where we go and the exercise which we do, achara, he says, our conduct, uchara, the way we talk also, and finally, vichara, our thoughts. And he says the first and last are the most important, which is now concretely and fully proved by medical science, ahara and vichara. Ahara, as you know, is the food we eat, and it is in this context when we ponder upon, as you are mentioning, the fast foods, the bakery foods, the non-vegetarian foods, which everybody, especially youth, indulge in, and how doctors have now clearly proved that the so-called lifestyle diseases like diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, which have become rampant, are all because of eating this unhealthy food. We can really appreciate, understand our master, the way he gave importance, priority to this aspect, to this factor which contributes towards positive health, ahara. Second, Bhagawan says, is vihara, the places we visit and also the physical exercise which we need to do. And here again, in this context, you know, as we all know, the modern club culture, where people go to clubs in the evenings, resort to all sorts of vices, and also the sedentary life, which again has been now proved to be contributory to most of these lifestyle diseases. Third, he mentions about achara. This again is important, because many of our youngsters, you know, are placed in really high positions, occupying the higher echelons of the organization. And there you invariably find ego clashes, personality clashes. And it has been shown that cardiac ailments especially are related to this stress factor. So our achara, our conduct, our, Bhagawan says, should be one of intense humility, so that you don't rub your shoulders with anybody. And in this respect, the role model for us is our own Lord, Lord Hanuman, who was an epitome of Shakti, the greatest strength, Bhakti, the highest devotion, but always head bent, humility. And as we all know, the tree which is laden with fruits bends low, they say. So the importance of achara. And then uchara. Swami says the way in which we talk also influences our health. And once he told us, if you become angry once, you lose energy equivalent to 3 months of eating good, nutritious food.
Oh my God.
Yes. And it has been clearly proved that these spells of anger have led to even fatal heart attacks. Elevation of blood pressure is very well known. And finally, the first and the last, Swami says, are the most important, vichara, the thoughts which we harbor in our mind. And medical science has conclusively proved that the function of hypothalamus, which is the most important endocrine gland we call in the brain, which dictates the function of all other vital organs, is dependent mainly on our thinking pattern, the thoughts which we harbor. And it has been shown that disordered thinking or stressful thinking leads to dysfunction of the hypothalamus, which is reflected in altered levels of what we call the blood steroid levels, cortisone levels. And it has been shown that this sort of altered cortisone levels is the first trigger in what we call oncogenesis or cancer. And it is exactly the same which Bhagwan Baba told us during the course of an interview, I remember about 10 or 12 years back in Bangalore, when I had taken a team of super specialist doctors. An oncosurgeon, eminent oncosurgeon of Andhra Pradesh, who is very well known, Dr. Mohan Vamshi, who is the director of Omega Institute, the premier institute in Hyderabad city, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana now. When he asked Baba, Swami, Andhra Rashtram lo cancer vyadi ekkuvai potundin karanamemi? Bhagavan Baba, in the state of Andhra Pradesh, the incidence of cancer is on the rise, great increase has been there. What is the reason? Swami surprisingly said, he used to tell this only for cardiac ailments. He said, Dini kuda, even for this, it is hari, vari and kari. He used to tell this only for cardiac ailments. And he said, he moved it low among these three, vari, he said. Tension.
That is the reason for
reason
cancer
for
also.
Cancer. In fact, I was a little, you know, taken aback at that time. But now studies have proved that it is our disturbed thinking which is the main trigger for even cancer, oncogenesis.
Wow.
And then Swami again added, and he looked at me because he knows that I am one who moves about in villages serving. He said, Grama Loguda, even in villages, he said, Daiva Preeti Poindi, faith in God is gone. Papa Bhiti Ledu, Papam, meaning doing wrongful or sinful activity is wrong. It has a reverse action on you. That fear is gone. Sangan easy ledu, societal values are there. Anduvalla, he said, because of this, the mind is always in strain, in tension. Cancer kuda ide karanam. He said, that this is a cause for cancer also. So, coming back quickly, as we thought first, the recognition and realization of the importance of health, not relegating it to the background, not taking it as for granted.
Well, there is much more to what Dr. Narasimhan has shared, and we will play this in the future episodes of Utsaha. But I think one significant point, one significant take home for us is how important are our thoughts, how important is our mind in shaping our body. In fact, I remember on so many occasions in discourses, Bhagwan used to say that 99% of our diseases are because of the mind. And at that point in time, it was difficult to, as a student, to comprehend that. And I used to wonder how it is possible. But today, modern science, as Dr. Narasimhan also mentioned, is proving that everything starts with the mind. Everything starts at the level of our psyche. And then it becomes physical. And I think that is what is also reflected in all these systems of healing, various systems of healing, pranic healing and such other systems of healing, where you try to first purify the aura of the person. And how can you purify any person without cultivating purifying thoughts? Let's listen to Bhagwan himself.
మొన్న ఒకనాడు బెంగళూరు లోపల ఏదో సంభాషణ ప్రారంభమైనప్పుడు
ఆయన
చెప్పాడు, నేను నిరంతరం కూడాను ఈ బెంగళూరు నుంచి ప్రవహించేటువంటి యొక్క జీవనదిలో నేను స్నానం చేస్తున్నానన్నాడు.
హీ సెడ్ దట్ హీ టేక్స్ బాత్ ఇన్ దిస్ రివర్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ దేర్ ఇన్ బెంగళూరు.
బెంగళూరు దగ్గర ఈ శాశ్వతమైన రివర్ ఎక్కడుంది?
Where is this permanent?
జీవనది ఎక్కడ కనిపించడం లేదు.
There are no rivers in Bangalore anywhere.
అంటే ఆయన చెప్పాడు.
Then he said,
ఈ సిటీ డ్రైనేజ్ వాటర్ అంతా డ్రైనేజ్ ఒక జీవనదిగా భావించుకున్నాడు.
He considered city drainage water as this true river of life.
ఎప్పుడు ప్రవహిస్తుంటుంది ఆ నది.
This drainage water
ఎండిపోయేటువంటిది కానే కాదు.
It never gets dry.
కాబట్టి బెంగళూరులో ఉన్నటువంటి జీవనది ఏమిటంటే ఒక డ్రైనేజ్ వాటరే జీవనదిగా భావించాడు.
సో ద రివర్ దేర్ ఇన్ బెంగళూరు ఇస్ దిస్ డ్రైనేజ్ వాటర్.
జీవనది లోపల కాలంలో గడపటం చేతనే అన్ని విధమైనటువంటి రోగంతో కుళ్లిపోతున్నారు.
because of this life all around the drainage water, he suffers
from aarogyanni.
What is the main reason that man has lost his health?
అశుద్ధమైన గాలి అంతా అశుద్ధమే.
మ్యాన్ ఇస్ సిక్ టుడే బికాస్ ఆఫ్ పొల్యూటెడ్ వాటర్, పొల్యూటెడ్ ఎయిర్, పొల్యూటెడ్ ఫుడ్.
ఫుడ్ వాటరే కాదు, మనసే పొల్యూషన్ అయిపోయింది.
మైండ్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో పొల్యూటెడ్ మైండ్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో
ఈ మానసిక సంబంధమైనటువంటి యొక్క అశాంతి చేతనే, మానసిక సంబంధమైన అనారోగ్యం చేతనే మానవుడు క్షీణించిపోతున్నాడు.
బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ రెస్ట్లెస్నెస్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్ మ్యాన్ ఇస్ రియలీ.
ఈనాటి మానవులకు రోగములంతా కూడాను ఏదో కొన్ని విధమైనటువంటి అంటువ్యాధులుగా వస్తున్నాయి అనుకుంటున్నారు. చాలా పొరపాటు.
వి థింక్ దట్ మెనీ ఆఫ్ ది డిసీజెస్ ఆర్ కంటేజియస్.
మానవులకు రోగమే లేదు.
ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో డిసీజ్ దట్ కెన్
ఎఫెక్ట్. కానీ సైకలాజికల్ గా తాను రోగమున్నట్టుగా భ్రమించుకొని ఒక రోగంగా రూపొందుతున్నాడు.
మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ డిసీజెస్ ఆర్ సైకలాజికల్ అండ్ హీ కన్సిడర్స్
90% ఆఫ్ ద మానవిక రోగములు సైకలాజికల్ గా వస్తున్నాయి.
90% ఆఫ్ ద డిసీజెస్ ఆర్ సైకలాజికల్.
మానసిక సంబంధమైనటువంటి రోగములే అధికంగా మారుతున్నాయి.
దే ఆర్ ఆల్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ సైకాలజీ.
నిరంతరం కూడా చింతించి చింతించి అదే రోగానికి గురి అవుతున్నాడు.
బికాస్ ఆఫ్ టూ మచ్ ఆఫ్ థింకింగ్ అండ్ ఎంగ్జైటీ అండ్ వారీ.
గాల్డిన్ అనేటువంటి వాడు ఒక హార్ట్ డాక్టర్.
గాల్డిన్ ఈజ్ ఎ హార్ట్ స్పెషలిస్ట్.
అతని నిరంతరం కూడాను ఇతరుల యొక్క హార్ట్ అంతా చూసేది, తన హార్ట్ ఎట్టిందో ఏమో, తన హార్ట్ ఎట్టిందో ఏమో తను కూడా యోచన చేసుకునేటువంటి
వాడు. హార్ట్ స్పెషలిస్ట్ చెక్స్ ది హార్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీబడీ బట్ హిస్ వరీడ్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ఓన్ హార్ట్.
కట్టకడపటికి అతను హార్ట్ జబ్బుతోనే మరణించాడు.
అల్టిమేట్లీ దిస్ హార్ట్ స్పెషలిస్ట్ డైడ్ ఆఫ్ హార్ట్ అటాక్.
సో భగవాన్ సేస్ వాట్ ఎవర్ వి స్ట్రెస్ అబౌట్ దట్ ఇస్ వాట్ అల్టిమేట్లీ బికమ్స్ అవర్ లాట్. And in fact, in today's times, you have so many anxieties and so many fears, so many tests that one is asked to undergo, saying they're going to check up. Maybe you will have a heart problem. And you know, you do your checkups 3 times, 4 times, and every 6 months. And by the time, third time or the fourth quarter, when you have checked and there is still no heart problem, then you start feeling, how come that I don't have a heart problem? And slowly you think so much about the heart problem that you end up having a heart problem. That fear, that anxiety, we are creating diseases by our faulty mind. And as Bhagwan says, a sound body will result only from a sound mind. Sound mind and a spiritual mind alone can result in a solid and sound body on a lasting basis. And at the same time, only with a sound body can you pursue your path of maintaining a sound mind, leading to a spiritual mind. They say, he who has health has hope, and he who has hope has everything. As Dr. Narasimhan said, even a Ratnakara can become Valmiki if he has health, because if you have health, you have hope, you can change anything. As Gandhi said, it is not health, it is health that is real wealth, and not our gold or silver or all the other precious ornaments. And in fact, that is the greatest gift we can give to any of our family members and the world around. A healthy self. Because when we are not healthy, we become such a discomfort, not only for ourselves, but for everyone around, for family and for society. And interestingly, it is no coincidence that 4 of the 6 letters in health are heal. H-E-A-L-T-H, H-E-A-L, heal. It's all about healing oneself. It's all about purifying oneself, and we can heal ourselves only when we connect with our inner self. Because once we connect with our inner self, we are in connected. We are connected with the deepest sources of regenerating energy. We are connected to something which is far beyond the body. And as Bhagwan said, for every illness, there is a solution. God has created the body in such a manner that wherever there is a problem, next to it there is a solution. The body can self-heal itself, provided our mind is strong, we are positive, and we are filled with purity. And we need the health to pursue the goals of life, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Let us ensure that as we play the game of life, let us maintain our health in a manner that we can perform all these goals of life to our greatest satisfaction and become worthy instruments in His hand. Let us have a health that can work for the Lord. Let us have a health. Let us have a heart that can beat for the Lord. let us have a heart, let us have a hand, let us have a health that can slog for the Lord. That is how every ounce of energy, every strain that we have taken to maintain our health will find fulfillment. Health is the greatest gift we can give to ourselves and to the Lord. Dear listeners, to have utsaha in us, health is very important, and that is what I want you to reflect on, and that is the message with which I want to leave you in this hour of utsaha. And in future episodes we will discuss more about this topic. There are a lot of health tips that Bhagwan has given. There's a lot more that Bhagwan has said about how we can keep ourselves in optimum levels of energy. And that is very important, to have that utsaha for the Lord. And we will discuss that in the coming episodes of utsaha. If you have any queries or comments or suggestions or feedback, please feel free to write to us, listener@radiosai.org. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And on behalf of all of us, I thank you all for being with us on this beautiful episode of ruminating on His message and filling ourselves with His energy to do His work. Thank you so much for being part of utsaha. And with that, dear listeners, it's time to wind up this day-long Thursday life. Thank you so much for being with us. As I sign off, I place my humble salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet for this opportunity to share His message and His love, and pray that He continues to be with us as we share and live in His love and share His message. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.